Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Ones We Hate by Katie Golightly, narrated by Sophia Willingham and Julio Maxwell. Author's Note: Content Trigger Warnings. Off-page death of family members, drunk driving, cancer, off-page sexual assault, harassment, brief mentions of an off-page character's pregnancy complications, on-page panic attack, manipulation, discussions of alcohol abuse, explicit language, and sexual content. In my first novel, I wrote myself into the characters, and while that is still true with this book, I relate the most heavily to a side character you will meet. When I sat down to start this novel, having already mapped out the entire plot, this character did not exist. In true me fashion, the undercurrent of the novel changed and warped into yet another healing journey for me. I thought this book would be about grief, and it is. But the most prevalent theme, after pouring even more of myself into it, is friendship. Piper and Leo are simply the friends I wish I would have had. The friends I deserved when I experienced betrayal and heartbreak. They are the embodiment of my true friends on the other side of the country, who were and are equal parts angry and compassionate on my behalf. The ones who dusted me off, who said that I was allowed to feel, and that I wasn't burdening them by sharing. The ones who told me that I deserved better. So if you are that person who feels alone, like you don't have friends who would burn the world down on your behalf, this one's for you. If you've ever gone through something and begged for your friends to listen, only to find out that they weren't your friends at all, this one's for you. If you're a family member of mine, this is not for you, and you should definitely put this book down. The likelihood that the sexual content will mortify you is high. If you frequently run into end tables, trip over uneven ground, or hit door frames on your way into a room, for once you're in luck. This one's for you. If you love flawed characters and emotional battlegrounds, you guessed it. This one's for you. Prologue. 15 years ago. Age 6. Piper. Every once in a while, there was a rare moment when Piper got to be on her own. No brothers to poke and prod her or show her gross bugs from the backyard. No friends or teachers at school expecting anything from her. It had been a while since the last time, so when her mother came to wake her up for school that morning, Piper miraculously came down with a nasty cold. She thought she had gotten pretty good at pretend sneezing by that point, but only one of her parents fell for it. Her father, Cole, seemed to notice immediately that it was all an act, and Piper had no idea why he didn't tell on her. Instead, he looked right at her, tapped his nose, and winked before declaring that he too would skip going to the office. After that, because her parents owned a business together, it was only a matter of time until he roped Piper's mom, Paisley, into staying home with them after they had dropped Piper's brothers off at their respective schools. That was how Piper ended up in the kitchen, legs swinging under her chair as she fiddled with a sunflower head, forever suspended in the small glass dome her mom had gifted her earlier that day. Markers were strewn atop the table, and her fingers were stained at the tips from the sky she'd colored in on her house drawing. The pop song playing through the surround sound had been on the radio so much lately that Piper knew the lyrics vaguely well enough to sing along while her parents chopped carrots and boiled noodles behind her. She wasn't fabricating an illness anymore, but her dad had insisted on chicken noodle soup anyway, claiming it could cure even a restless heart's ailments.
"I think it needs salt," Piper's mother announced, reaching for the salt shaker.
"Now, hold on just a second, Pay."
Cole rounded the island and caught Paisley by the waist.
"We have our very own super special taste tester sitting right over there, and she's only home for one day."
A smile spread across Paisley's face, and Piper mimicked it with her own, knowing exactly who her dad was talking about. Piper's mom lifted her hand and placed it on her forehead, as if she were trying to peer through a crowd.
Who? I don't see any super special taste testers.
Me, me!
Piper giggled and kicked her legs harder.
Oh my goodness!
Paisley gasped and clutched at her heart. You are a super special taste tester? I had no idea. I thought you were a singer.
I'm both,
Piper decided on the spot.
And a house designer like you.
Ah, a multi-talented girl. Her mom beamed. She's been taste testing for me for years. Cole puffed out his chest with pride, and Piper grinned up at her father, her nose scrunching and eyes squinting.
I think we should put her to the test. What do you think, honey?
Absolutely. Paisley agreed and brought over a silver spoon teeming with soup, blowing on it before she held it up to Piper's mouth. The warm liquid coated Piper's tongue, and she screwed up her face in thought as her parents stared down with wide, expectant eyes. Despite her parents' faith in her, Piper had no idea what the soup needed, if anything, and opted to copy what her mother had said earlier.
It needs salt, Piper said.
Both her parents seemed to take this well.
Genius, Cole declared, turning to Paisley. Didn't I tell you she's a genius?
You did. Paisley nodded and walked over to the large pot on the stove to add salt. Cole moved in beside her, pulled the wooden spoon from the pot for a taste, and hummed his approval.
Since you're so smart, Piper's mom called out, what color do you think I should paint the cabinets?
Piper looked down at her markers and contemplated them before eyeing the color she had accidentally smeared across her hands.
Blue!
Blue.
Cole nodded.
I like it.
Paisley stepped back from the stove to get a wider look at the white primed cabinets, as if she were already painting them in her mind. Piper watched a spark of excitement pass through her mom's features.
Blue is perfect. We can do dark blue, and maybe a gray stone for the backsplash.
Love it, Cole said.
The song that had been playing finally faded out, and a new one started in its place. It sounded old, slow, and boring. Not at all the fun, upbeat music that Piper liked to listen to. She was just about to voice her complaint when her dad yanked her mom into his arms and whispered something into her ear. Paisley threw her head back with a laugh.
You'll step on my feet again, Mr. Hartrick. You're a bull in a china shop when it comes to coordination.
Excuse you. I am a fantastic dancer, Cole argued.
Piper giggled because just as her father had somehow known she had been lying earlier, she knew he was lying too. Her dad looked weird when he danced. His hips always jerked back and forth like the robot in her favorite TV show.
Dance with me, Pei. You know you want to.
Okay, okay.
Paisley gave in and wrapped her arms around Cole's neck, where his apron, emblazoned with the words, Grillmaster, hung. Piper watched in rapt attention as her dad pulled her mom in and started to sway. The song continued and built to a chorus as Piper's father twirled her mother under his arm, his eyes soft and never leaving Paisley until it was finally over, ending with a slow press of lips.
Ugh, gross.
Piper gagged. Part 1. I Hate You. 1. Present. Age 21. Piper. It was happening again. Piper looked up at the tree branches, crisscrossing the patio area of the coffee shop, and rubbed her thumbs into the pressure points on the back of her hands in anticipation of a headache. She simply refused to witness whatever arrogant facial expression her now ex-boyfriend was wearing. If her emotions were as unforgiving as her lack of spatial awareness, they would compound and spill out in the form of rage. Unfortunately, her pent-up anger would probably just fizzle out while she ate ice cream later, and she would never think about Todd White again. If she could just blow up once, maybe word would get around campus and shitty guys would stop lining up to declare their feelings for her just to snatch them back a few months later. But she couldn't fucking do it. It was blatantly clear that she was doomed to forever be the pleasant girl whom everyone could rely on for a smile. If she didn't, it would only take someone 2 seconds flat to tell her she looked prettier when she did.
"Are you even listening to me, P?"
Todd interrupted Piper's train of thought with the nickname she had always hated. It had initially been a joke, like, ha-ha, the first letter of your name is also a word for urine. But Todd continued to use it relentlessly, always laughing and acting as though it were a term of endearment or some inside joke between the two of them. As usual, she went along with it. Why rock the boat?
"I'm listening."
Piper offered Todd a tight smile. "Good." The undertone of his response said there should have been a girl at the end of his praise. If Todd was expecting her to stick out her tongue and wag her tail for a compliment, he would be a bit disappointed.
"Sorry, I didn't bring my leash today," Piper thought.
Being a pushover didn't mean Piper enjoyed degradation. It just meant she frequently let her opinions fall by the wayside and carefully chose which battles she fought, most of which just happened to be on behalf of other people, not herself.
"So you understand why we have to go our separate ways? You're a smart girl, so I'm sure you knew this wasn't going to last forever."
Todd got up from his seat and shrugged down at her. The way her exes always acted like Piper had somehow misinterpreted the relationship was beyond frustrating. There wasn't much to misinterpret when Todd had said, verbatim, "I want to spend all my time with you," and "best sex of my life." That was why when the guys Piper dated dumped her like used trash, claiming to have never felt a thing, she always swore up and down that she would be the dumper the next time. Yet here she was, sitting in a public place, staring up at an ex who was just like the others after she'd wasted the entire summer with him. The words, "it was fun, but I don't see much of a connection anymore," were still ringing in her ears. And really, she couldn't blame him. It wasn't like she was in love with Todd. She had tolerated him, at best. That was what she had liked about him. He was a human person who made her not so completely alone. A warm body she would never be at risk of falling in love with. The "we need to talk" conversation always materialized after one of Piper's mental breakdowns, as a previous ex-boyfriend had termed them. When guys realized they only liked her when she was happy, they'd leave. The root of Piper's emotional turmoil could always be sourced back to one thing: her parents. She was decent at holding back her emotions, but occasionally something would trigger her memories and she'd find herself sobbing. Not alone, like she preferred, but with someone who could never fathom or care about the devastation of losing both her parents. But who was she to expect understanding when she had never chosen her boyfriends for their listening capabilities? The perfect guy would be someone with whom Piper could have a mutual agreement. A transactional relationship was the only kind that wouldn't end up breaking her. Neither one of them would be in love, but they could warm the bed, get each other off, and go to the occasional party together. He would never ask why she sometimes froze up behind the wheel of a car, or why she refused drinks at parties. And even when he inevitably found out through the grapevine about the drunk driver who had killed her parents, he'd never mention it. He would just leave her be. He could be that person who realized when she went missing and reported it to the authorities in a timely manner. No one had to be left dead and unattended in their apartment until someone noticed the smell. Unfortunately, any guy who wasn't a walking red flag seemed to require love. And the red flag guys loved to proclaim what Piper already knew. No one liked her unless she was dolled up and smiling. Good girl, Piper. Good fucking girl. Yep, totally understand. Piper ground her teeth together. Anger wasn't going to get her anywhere with Todd. If she lost her cool, he'd just end up telling the entire student body of Fletcher University that she was a crazy bitch. Finally, having a blowout fight with one of her exes wasn't worth having the word crazy always tacked onto her name. She had carefully curated her image to avoid the emotional turmoil that came with remembering anything painful. She redirected her thoughts when they were going somewhere unhealthy and replaced them with ambition and niceties. She did it now, too, just to cover her bases.
"I knew you would understand."
Todd grinned, his obnoxiously white teeth now looking like a wolf's. Then, hovering over her with a sly smile wrapping his fangs, he nailed her with the kicker.
"But you can feel free to hit me up any time you want to take a roll in my sheets. We were always really good at that."
Piper wouldn't be hitting him up for any booty calls, late at night or otherwise. While Todd had proclaimed her to be his best sexual partner, she hadn't orgasmed one singular time in his company. The urge to throw that in his face was a powerful one, but not powerful enough to follow through. Telling everyone that Todd White was bad in bed would probably get her on some sort of campus-wide blacklist. She wondered if there was a secret club out there somewhere made up of all the women Todd had slept with, like a support group for scorned and orgasmless women. She workshopped support group names while Todd continued spelling out exactly what he wanted from her. The perpetually edged. Nope, that one didn't work. Piper hadn't even gotten close to edging. Never O-Land. They could be the lost boys of terrible sex. Scratch that. No one was flying anywhere with Peter Pan over the edge of anything. The sisterhood of the lackluster man. Todd smirked as he finished off his list of good deeds he wanted Piper to accomplish. Yet again, he was the only one who ever got to finish.
"Remember that one night at that house party? We could do that again."
"I think I'll pass. I should focus on studying." Why Piper felt the need to have a legitimate excuse not to sleep with them, she had no idea. Her internal voice, which was now just a mere whisper, was telling him to go fuck himself. The more passive part of her was already listing off a whole study guide for an upcoming exam in her business class.
"Always focusing on school."
Todd rolled his eyes and began to walk away, only looking back to offer some unwanted advice.
"You should try being fun sometime. See you around."
In her last year of college, Piper was too close to the finish line to release the reins on her schoolwork. But Todd's last barb, before he left, cut like a knife. She couldn't win. She was either too perfect or too imperfect. What the hell did people want from her? That was it. Swearing off men, for real this time, was her only recourse. Piper got out her planner from her backpack and slammed it down on the table. The force rocked the breakup coffee that Todd had made her pay for on the rickety metal table, and the cup toppled over, directly onto the binding of her planner. The cheap plastic lid easily popped off and slid to the side, allowing the coffee to dump freely onto the table. "Ah!" Piper exclaimed and launched out of her seat. Her purple sundress was already a lost cause, a brownish stain soaking into the spot around her crotch. Lovely. The liquid dripped over the edge of the table until a hand swooped in from behind Piper and slapped a wad of napkins onto the puddle. "Thank you." Piper turned and came face to face with the one person who could possibly make this day worse and snapped her mouth shut to glare. Leonardo Diaz. He had his backpack casually slung over one shoulder as if he had just happened to pass by at the exact time she'd spilled her coffee everywhere, which was par for the course, given how her day was going. The latte river had made its way around the haphazardly tossed napkins and was dripping over the edge of the table again. Leo's white sneakers, the only bright thing about his outfit, carefully sidestepped the stream of coffee as he frowned at it, like it had disobeyed a direct command to stay on the table. Everything else, his Henley, his pants, and his backpack, was as black as his soul, solidifying his perpetual storm cloud persona. The scowl he always wore sealed the deal. After Piper learned that Leo would be attending Fletcher University alongside her, 3 years of hell ensued. The problem hinged on Fletcher's renown for having the best arts programs in the entire state of Oregon. Piper was double majoring in interior design and business, because as soon as she graduated, she would eagerly be taking on the role of owner and CEO of Hartrick Designs, which her parents had grown from a family business to a flourishing 100-employee company. She should have guessed that Leo would be working on his own Bachelor of Arts for something revolving around theater or film, given that he was self-important enough to pursue a career in the entertainment business. Any job that involved bossing people around and having a superiority complex would be the perfect fit. Plus, if it wasn't perfect, Leo would just smash his foot into the shoe, a la Cinderella's evil stepsisters. The shoe, incidentally, did fit, and Leo became the talk of Piper's hometown when he won a big, fancy, nationwide scholarship from some famous director. All that bravado and confidence was probably where Leo's secondary business major came into play, and how he and Piper ended up in at least one class together every single year. To put it bluntly, she fucking hated him, and was pissed that after already dealing with him enough for two lifetimes in high school, the universe was hell-bent on torturing her more. They had originally met in Spanish class their junior year, where Piper got stuck with Leo's condescension and snickering all year long. She had been so used to school coming easy that her difficulties in Spanish threw her for a loop. The entire school year her parents had died was a blur, but she would never forget Leo tossing around ridicule like his life's purpose was to critique everything she did. His haughty attitude was the stuff of nightmares, not to mention that his personality seemed to be the exact antithesis of hers. Piper always cared what people thought. Leo, on the other hand, didn't give a single fuck what anyone thought and steamrolled over every person he encountered. Piper meticulously ironed her clothes. Leo made little effort in his appearance, and yet every hot-blooded woman in the vicinity seemed to gawk over his tanned skin, smoky eyes, and sharp tongue. His hair was a wild mop of dark curls he never tried to tame, and it didn't seem to matter that he didn't tower over anyone. What Leo lacked in height, he made up for in sheer will. Spanish constantly slipped from his mouth, usually in a grumbling undertone when directed at her, and for some stupid reason, that made even Piper's best friend Thea go weak in the knees. Piper had already dealt with enough assholes who hid their misogyny to deal with one who openly hated her from the start.
"You gonna finish your sentence, Princesita?"
Leo asked. The nickname he always used for Piper came out right on cue, like he was trying to win a prize for irritating her. "Sure. Thank you so much for appearing like a surprise zit before school photos. You want a gold star?" Piper shot back.
"Careful. Someone might notice you're a little ungrateful."
Leo cocked his head and continued with an evil lilt.
"I know you just got dumped, but it'll really ruin the whole My Little Pony glitter rainbow vibe you try to give off if you don't hand over all of your gold stars immediately."
The asshole actually held out his hand, palm up, like he was ready to receive something. Piper's face turned beet red. She hadn't realized anyone, let alone Leo, had overheard her conversation with Todd. Snatching her planner from the table, she shoved it into her backpack, no longer caring about the moisture clinging to the cover. It was a mess she would have to deal with when she got home. She quickly swiped at the coffee with the wad of napkins and collected her empty cup. "Can I help you with something? Or are you just pretending to be a knight in shining armor with napkins I could have easily gotten myself?" Piper ground out.
"Fine. I guess gold stars are only for douchey frat boys."
Leo's hand fell away, and he smirked.
"The gold stars you give are fool's gold anyways."
It was the running insult with him. He'd call her fake, and then she'd point out the obvious. He was a dick. "Have a nice day, Leo." Piper turned up her nose at him and stormed toward the nearest stone staircase, disposing of her trash on the way. The entire campus was built into the side of a hill, so there was no lack of stairs anywhere. Turn a corner, staircase. Walk 2 feet, staircase. Piper's naturally muscular legs had gotten even sturdier since attending Fletcher. There seemed to be a lack of the stereotypical freshman 15 on campus as well, what with all the cardio everyone had to do just to get to class. "Go F you," Piper muttered as her thigh and calf muscles worked to get to the first landing. With a jolt, she reared back, suddenly yanked by an unknown force. She stumbled a bit before her rib cage met the metal railing on her left, and she winced as she grabbed on to stay upright. If balance and spatial awareness were college courses, she'd fail every time. Upon investigating the source of her almost tumble down the stairs, Piper found her bag was hooked on a bush. Typical. Several hard pulls later, the greedy plant still wouldn't let up. She genuinely thought she might have to give in and let the bush have this one.
"Bush versus Piper. Who will win?"
Leo's voice called as if he were an announcer at an MMA fight. Piper looked over her shoulder to watch him walk up the staircase, wearing an amused expression. It always irritated her how graceful he looked doing mundane tasks. He was like a cat, fluid and arrogant. "Following me around like a pesky fly now?" Piper asked, still trying to free her bag and getting more frustrated by the minute.
"Buzz,"
Leo deadpanned before reaching out and unhooking her bag with one deft flick of his wrist.
"Maybe you should work on learning how to walk instead of dating every guy who thinks he's God's gift to humanity,"
says the guy who has a massive God complex.
"My partially Catholic mother would be none too thrilled with that assessment. Just out of curiosity, do you have some weird kink where you enjoy getting slapped around by both man-children and inanimate objects?"
Leo gestured to the bush. "I don't have eyes in the back of my head, and if I wanted to date a man-child, I would just date you." Piper gave him her best villainous smile, but she hadn't perfected the art of being rude like Leo had, so she probably just looked constipated. Leo tilted his head from side to side, like he was weighing the options. "I'll pass. My standards are a little higher than that. I'm forever curious as to when you're going to grow a spine and get some standards of your own, though."
He held up one finger for each name he listed off. "Arden, Christopher, Parker, Trey, Dante, Tristan, Conrad, and finally Todd. I almost ran out of fingers, Piper. Each one of them was a walking red flag, and you fell for it every time."
"Okay, one, you pay way too close attention to my dating history. And two, we're in the 21st century. Slut-shaming is in poor taste. Plus, if I recall, you're not doing so hot on the dating front either. I haven't seen you flaunting a new girl around campus lately."
Piper folded her arms over her chest, eyebrows raised. "Slut-shaming wasn't what I was going for. Sex is fun. I don't knock anyone for it. And if by flaunt you mean holding hands because that's what couples do, then sure. You don't have to be jealous just because whatever douche bro you're dating at the time doesn't act like a real boyfriend."
"Fuck you." Piper scrunched her nose, trying to search within herself to come up with anything better. But Leo was right. Todd, for example, had claimed that he wasn't into PDA until any given house party, where his concerns magically evaporated and he'd make out with her against a wall in front of everyone. Todd was horrendous at that, too. His mouth was always uncomfortably wet, and his tongue usually tasted like stale beer. She had only ever felt like a conquest when it came to guys, but admitting that didn't make Leo's words hurt any less.
"You know I'm right, don't you?"
Leo lifted his chin with pride.
"You only date them because they're meatheads with surfer hair and money. You'd be able to see right through them if you could get past their appearance and status."
"I don't date them for their looks or money," Piper shouted. A group of baby-faced freshmen sitting on the lawn a short distance away looked up from their books, and Piper cringed, lowering her voice. "I don't."
"Whatever you say, Princesita."
Without another word, Leo looked her up and down with distaste and jogged back down the stairs,
most likely slinking off to the underworld so he could go back to being Satan's personal bitch. Piper stared after him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?